Today we're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 23. We'll finish the chapter looking at verses 15 through 29. And in our study in the life of David, we're now following David, and he is a fugitive, and he's on the run from King Saul. And David's faith in the Lord, at first it was superseded by his fears of Saul. But then David comes to realize that God is sovereignly watching over him and protecting him. And as a result of that, David's trust in the Lord, it begins to grow. And so he sought the Lord's guidance in these different circumstances. And then we read how David was once again pursued by Saul. But we'll also see God's providence over him. Today as we read, I'm going to ask you to stand as we read through our scripture. And then we will get in and we'll talk about David being pursued by Saul. Again, if you need to sit down during, you're more than welcome to. 1 Samuel chapter 23, begin at verse 15. While David was at Horesh in the desert of Ziph, he learned that Saul had come out to take his life. And Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. "Don't be afraid," he said. "My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. Even my father Saul knows that." The two of them made a covenant before the Lord. Then Jonathan went home, but David remained in Horesh. The Ziphites went up to Saul at Gibeah and said, "Is not David hiding among us in the strongholds at Horesh, on the hill of Hakilah, south of Jeshimon? Now, your majesty, come down whenever it pleases you to do so, and we will be responsible for giving him into your hands." Saul replied, "The Lord bless you for your concern for me. Go and get more information. Find out where David usually goes and who has seen him there. They tell me he is very crafty. Find out about all the hiding places he uses and come back to me with definite information. Then I will go with you. If he is in the area, I will track him down among all the clans of Judah." So they set out and went to Ziph ahead of Saul. Now David and his men were in the desert of Maon, in the Arabah south of Jeshimon. Saul and his men began the search, and when David was told about it, he went down to the rock and stayed in the desert of Maon. When Saul heard this, he went into the desert of Maon in pursuit of David. Saul was going along one side of the mountain, and David and his men were on the other side, hurrying to get away from Saul. As Saul and his forces were closing in on David and his men to capture them, a messenger came to Saul saying, "Come quickly, the Philistines are raiding the land." Then Saul broke off his pursuit of David and went to meet the Philistines. That is why they call this place Sela Hamalakath. And David went up from there and lived in the strongholds of En Gedi. Thank you. You may be seated, and may God bless the reading of his holy word. Now, in his book, which is entitled A Sweet and Bitter Providence, John Piper offers these thoughts about God's providence. Life is not a straight line leading from one blessing to the next and then finally to heaven. Life is a winding and troubled road, switchback after switchback. And the point of biblical stories like Joseph and Job and Esther and Ruth is to help us feel in our bones, not just in our heads, that God is for us in all of these strange turns. God is not just showing up after the trouble and trying to clean it up. He is plotting the course, and he is managing the troubles with far-reaching purposes for our good and for the glory of Jesus Christ. David, he has been anointed by the prophet Samuel as the future king over Israel when he's just a teenager. But rather than leading a life that goes from one blessing to the next, David experienced a winding and troubled road. King Saul is insanely jealous of David. He sought strenuously to hunt him down and to kill him. And as I mentioned initially, David's faith in the Lord, it was superseded by his fears of Saul. But then David came to realize that God was sovereignly watching over him, that God is protecting him. And as a result, his trust in the Lord grows. And David saw more and more of God's providence and care for him. And his faith continues to grow more and more. And today I want us to see through David and his being pursued by Saul, how we should believe in God and we should trust in God who is providentially watching over us and caring for us. Because the very first thing we notice in our scripture is that God provides encouragement when it is needed. When we last left David from last week, he had heard that the Philistines were fighting against the city of Keilah, which is on the border with the Philistines. After inquiring of the Lord and receiving this affirmation, David went and he saved the inhabitants of Keilah. And then David heard that Saul had learned that he was in Keilah, and David again inquired of the Lord. And the Lord directed him at this time to escape from Keilah, to get out of Keilah. And so David left and he remained in the strongholds of the wilderness, in the hill country of the wilderness of Ziph. And that is where we pick up. That is where we see this threat, because verse 15 tells us, while David was at Horesh in the desert of Ziph, he learned that Saul had come out to take his life. Horesh is a place in the desert-like wilderness. It's about 5 miles southwest of Ziph. It was quite easy to hide out in the caves that were in the mountains in that region. And even though there are 600 men with David by now, they're able to hide out in these different caves and to keep hidden from Saul. Now, it's very likely that at this point in time, David was discouraged because Saul had come out to seek his life. How would you feel if you had been on the road on the run from someone? Not someone who's just merely mad at you, but somebody who wanted to take your life and they would not stop until they had succeeded. But then we notice this friendship. Saul could not find David, but ironically, the first part of verse 16 says, Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh. Of course, David would have these scouts, these men who were out watching. They would watch for people who were approaching. And as soon as they saw that it was Jonathan who was approaching them, they would have taken Jonathan to see David. Now, we've previously noted how very close of a friendship there was between Jonathan and David. In fact, they were best friends. And if you use today's terminology, they would be BFFs. Best friends forever. Proverbs 17:7 tells us, a friend loves at all times. How glad David would have been to be able to see his dear friend Jonathan at a time like this. Time when he is discouraged. Time when he is on the run, trying to hide from Saul. But even more than that, Jonathan understood that God had chosen David to be the future king of Israel. And Jonathan gladly submitted himself to the Lord's will and to David's leadership. The writer of the book of Samuel tells how Jonathan encouraged David. He said that Jonathan helped him to find strength in God. Well, some versions say that Jonathan helped to put David's hand in God's hand. What an interesting expression that is. David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life. But Jonathan, he came and he strengthened David's hand in God. And how did Jonathan strengthen David's hand in God? He says, don't be afraid. My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. Even my father Saul knows that. Saul's hand, it was against David. He was pressing against David. And so David, he is fearful about what Saul wanted to do to him, and he would not stop. Trying to hunt him down, trying to kill him. And how did God provide encouragement when David needed it the most? He sent David his beloved friend who knew just how to encourage a discouraged soul, who knew just the right words to say, by pointing him back to the promise that God had given years earlier. And in this case, the promise was, you shall be king over Israel. In a very real sense, Jonathan put David's hand in the hand of God. What David saw was discouraging, but what David heard from Jonathan, it overcame what his eyes saw. God provides encouragement when we need it. It's often provided through the ministry of a friend, but it is always provided through the Word of God. The Word of God says to us in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. And then at this time, the two of them, they made a covenant before the Lord. And then Jonathan went home, and David remained at Horesh. And this right here, this encounter between Jonathan and David, was the very last time that these two best friends would see each other alive in this life. When David needed it the most, when he needed encouragement the most, God sent Jonathan to David, who pointed him back to the promise of God. Let me urge you, if you are discouraged, if you are just not there, spend time in God's Word. Study His Word. Read His Word. Meditate on it. Memorize it. Store it in your heart, because that is where encouragement will come from. But not only does God provide encouragement when needed, he also provides protection. Jonathan had barely left David when things began to heat up for David, because this threat pops up again. Apparently the people of Ziph, they knew where David was hiding out at. And they went up to Saul in Gibeah, and they said, isn't David hiding among us in the strongholds at Horesh on the hill of Hakalah, south of Jeshimon? Now, your majesty, come down whenever it pleases you to do so, and we will be responsible to turn him over to you. Undoubtedly, the word of Saul's slaughter of the town of Nob, when he wiped out all the people, all the livestock, that had reached the people there in Ziph. And so they are taking some preventive action. They don't want Saul to come and to wipe out their city. And so when Saul hears from the Ziphites about David's whereabouts, he says, the Lord bless you for your concern for me. Go and get more information. Find out where David usually goes and who has seen him there. They tell me that he is very crafty. Find out about all of his hiding places that he uses and come back to me with more definite information. Then I will go with you. If he is in the area, I will track him down among the clans of Judah. And so they went to Ziph ahead of Saul. And so the stage is set for David's capture. The plot is there. They've gone ahead to find him. But then there's this escape that takes place. You see, it was not long, however, before David's spies inform him that Saul and his men are actually out actively looking for him. Now, David and his men, they're in the desert of Maon, in the Arabah, south of Jeshimon. It's about 3 miles southeast of Horesh. And when Saul had heard that David was there, he and his men began the search for David. And David went down to the rock, and he stayed there in the desert of Maon. And when Saul heard that he is staying in the desert of Maon, he went into the desert in pursuit of David. This time, Saul gets really close to catching David. You can almost feel the suspense as it begins to build. Saul is going along one side of the mountain, and David and his men, they're going along the other side. Apparently, Saul and his men, they're quicker than David and his men, because Scripture tells us that Saul and his forces were closing in on David and his men to capture them. And if this was a movie, if you were watching a movie right now, the suspense would be there. The music would be building. It would be at a crescendo. You'd just be waiting for Saul to crest over that mountain and to capture David. And you'd be waiting on the edge of your seats for what is getting ready to take place. be waiting for Saul and his men to capture David and his men. But just at that moment, out of nowhere, as it were, a messenger comes along to Saul saying, "Come quickly. The Philistines are raiding the land." Now, David is not a threat to national security, whereas the Philistines, they are a threat to the safety of Israel. And so Saul broke off his pursuit of David, and he went to meet the Philistines. And David went up from there, and he lived in the strongholds of En-Gedi, which is on the west side of the Dead Sea. You see, God, he provides protection right when it is needed. And God, he's amazing. He has an infinite number of ways in which he can provide protection when it is needed. We see it over and over again as you read through the scriptures. God protected Moses as a baby in the river Nile when he was hidden from Pharaoh's soldiers who were out killing all the male children. We even see that Moses was brought into Pharaoh's household to be raised right under the nose of Pharaoh. God protected the people of Israel when they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years after they fled from Egypt. God protected his people as they captured the land of Israel that had been promised to them. God protected Daniel when he shut the mouths of the lions. God protected Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were put in the fiery furnace so that they did not burn. In Leadership Weekly, Joe McKeever, he writes, he says, "Late one night, a man in Slim Cornett's church was showing Slim around a county airport in rural Mississippi. This switch," he says, "it lights up the runway." And the man flipped the switch on just so they could see the runway light up. And then he says, "This one over here, if I throw this switch, it'll light up a beacon. If there's a plane in distress, the plane will see that beacon and they will know where to land." And as he flipped the switch and the night lights lit up with this beacon, this beam shooting up into the sky, there was a small plane that materialized out of the darkness and it landed there on the runway. Slim and his friend, they watched in amazement as Franklin Graham, son of the famous evangelist, stepped off the plane. The pilot had been flying Franklin back to school in Texas when the electrical system on the plane completely shut down, leaving them stranded in the Mississippi night without lights or radio or any means of guidance. And then from out of nowhere, this search beam had come on and guided them safely down to the landing strip. As Franklin's mother, Ruth, tells the story, earlier that evening, before they even left home, Billy Graham had prayed to the Father to protect and guide his son and the pilot as they made their way to school. You see, God provides protection to you and me when we need it. Sometimes he does it, and we don't even know it. We don't realize how God is watching over us. You see, as we've looked at our scripture this morning, at the story of David, this narrative of David, as God is encouraging him, and God is protecting him. God does that for those who believe in him and those who are following him. God provides encouragement just when it is needed. He sent Jonathan to go and find David. And no doubt, David, he's thrilled to see his best friend, Jonathan. But the primary means of encouragement that Jonathan gave to David was to strengthen David's hand in God's hand. And that is to point him back to the promise that had been made to him years ago. God provides encouragement to us primarily through his word. So let's study it. Let's memorize it. Let's meditate on it. Let's hold it in our hearts so that we can call on it when we need it. And God provides protection when it is needed. At exactly the moment when it seemed like Saul was about to capture David, a messenger came and told him of a greater problem that needed his immediate attention. God is exceedingly capable of protecting his people in a myriad of different ways. God is capable of protecting us in a variety of different ways. God provides protection to us through providential circumstances. Opportunities open and opportunities close. And God is orchestrating those opportunities so that we can keep in step with Him and we can keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Of course, sometimes things don't always come into our lives that we want. You know, accidents happen to us, illnesses afflict us, and eventually death takes us. But we need to recognize in all of these circumstances, good and bad, God is always sovereignly in control and watching over us. We need to believe that God will always take care of those who are following after Him. Those who are striving to follow God, He will watch over us. And at times when it seems like you're at wit's end, when you're not going to be able to get anywhere, God can make a way. And God will make a way.